It's the World Rock Countdown, episode 2 of season 3. This week we speak with ZFG out of Los Angeles, an awesome four-piece band who brings a new feel to rock and roll. Before that, let me spin their debut track, Wholehearted, right here on the World Rock Countdown.
That I had you too.
Welcome, ZFG, or Zero Fucks Given, to the World Rock Countdown. Tell me how stoked you are about touring with Adelita's Way and the Winery Dogs coming up.
Yeah, it's going to be sick, man. We're just excited to get out on the road and play. I mean, that, for me personally, is my favorite part of being a musician. So, yeah, it's going to be good. The band's a killer. And, I hadn't really heard of Adelita's Way coming from England until recently, and I've been listening to their music, and they're sick. So yeah, really looking forward to it. And then the Winery Dogs, obviously, are legendary. So
yeah, the Adelita's Way reached out on Instagram, and they seem like really cool guys, and we're really excited just to do our first tour, and we've been vibing on their music ever since we got the tour booked, and we totally dig all the bands actually that are coming out, and we're looking forward to hanging. And Winery Dog is a little more closer to home because Richie and Billy have been like family friends, so I've known them for years, so that's going to be a hang, and also just for us as musicians, it's going to be quite a learning experience to see such crazy talented dudes playing a band. I've actually seen Winery Dogs before. They're unreal. So I'm excited to do that that run with them. And it'll be a love fest.
You know, I've seen them too, and I've seen Adelita's Way as well. I've actually been following Adelita's Way. Actually, I was the first one in all of Canada to play their music. So I'm very excited. I actually didn't think they would, because The Getaway is such an awesome album. I was like, how can they get any better than this? And then they just hit us again with the next album. So very stoked to see where that band is going. So you guys have a very unique sound. You guys aren't ripping off anyone like Greta Van Fleet. A really reminiscent sound, though. So I usually pass the music around to about five people that I really trust. See what their feedback is and what they hear, because sometimes I hear things and I just want to confirm that with other people. So what we got is we hear some Prince influence, maybe even some Lenny Kravitz grooves into your music. So where do you draw influence from?
So you got Lenny Kravitz and you got Prince.
Yes, that was the kind of like the groove, the feel that we all got from it.
That's the first time we've heard that, which is kind of cool. Like, I remember when we finished Special, my pop referred to us as like a heavy Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That's also good.
But I don't know, man. We're all just like very. Jules is very. Our singer is very pop R&B, you know, soul influence. And you know, we're all rockheads. We're also like pop. We also just love like groove music, man. Something you can move to. Our bass player Sam. We call him Dr. Pocket. The man is just. He's nothing but groove, and him and Josh together, the rhythm section is so crazy. It's just fun for me to play over like their kind of their pocket together. And it's just kind of everyone else's influences kind of came together to make this I don't know, this gumbo of deliciousness, I like to say, of like, it's heavy, but it makes you want to move. It's like you want to dance and mosh at the same time.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And you know what? Sometimes we even listen to it as a group of us have actually listened to the songs. I let my wife listen to it too, and she's like, you know what? It's got that groove. It catches me. It pulls me in. I want to be part of this, right? So that's a very important thing. So how did this project come together?
Well, Trevor and I have known each other for a while, and we've always just admired each other's playing and said, yo, one day we need to start playing together. And we did, man. We got in the studio with kind of no commitment, just let's just have fun, play something that we want to play. And Trev and Sam have known each other since Sam was born. So it was kind of a natural, like, hey, we should see if Sam's up for this. And they'd never played together until just before we all jumped in the studio. So it was kind of, it just made perfect sense. And then we got Jules into the mix, and before we knew it was something undeniable and so special, excuse the pun. And we just decided, you know what, this is what we all know we need to be doing. And we just kind of haven't looked back since.
And not only that, you know, people actually believe it when they hear it. You know, and that's a very big thing.
They should, because it's real, man. I mean, like the vibe of us all together as a band, it's really like a family unit, man. I mean, like we all respect each other. We're all fans of each other in the band. Like we all admire each other so much that like when we were recording the record, it was like we were all, you know, giddy each time someone was up to bat to record or we're tracking live and all this stuff. And like, you know, this band came together, like the universe aligned for us, and I feel that's why we all felt it too when we finished our first song, did Wholehearted first. When we finished Wholehearted, we all knew that it was not something that we should just like, you know, oh, put it on the back burner. We all had our separate projects, and all of our separate projects weren't really showcasing who we are. So for this to come together and just, you know, why we call it VFG, because when we went in the studio and we track the first day, we had no idea what the song would be, what the sound would be. We just plugged in and played. And so when the engineer asked, hey, what do we call this? We said, fucking zero fucks given, man. And then that just stuck. So the vibe when we first heard the first mix back was so amazing. And the love was so in the room. We're like, okay, the universe is talking, so we have to. We really have to, like, we didn't have to. We wanted to. So I don't know. When people hear our music, I think they feel our excitement and our love for what we're doing. And I mean, because, you know, man, it's sound waves, man. It's all energy. So you can tell when something's real or not real quick. So it really means a lot that people are catching on to that, because it's true.
How did the idea of having Lenny Castro play on your record come into play?
Well, he's my godfather, man. And funny enough, when we were tracking Special, he randomly messaged me, and I was like, oh, and I looked at the guys and said, how sick would it be if Lenny came in and played percussion on this song? Because Special was actually a song that wasn't planned to be recorded for an EP. Like, the guys that we're working with, you know, when we were recording the record, he's like, hey, can we hear some other ideas? And we kind of needed a little more up-tempo. Like, a lot of our songs are very, like, you know, heavy to tempo, and they were kind of vibing on a more up-tempo track, so we wrote, arranged, and produced Special on the spot. So Lenny just happened to text me. And so the thought of him coming in and playing would be a little far-fetched, but he was way into the idea. He just telling me the time of the day, man, and he came in and just one take through, like, I don't know how many different instruments,
sounds like five or six.
Five different things, yeah.
And just one take, man, and just brought such, I mean, Josh already laid down such a groove, but, like, I don't know, you kept it pretty open.
I mean, I as soon as we decided we're going to put some percussion, before we'd even thought about Lenny, we're like, oh, we should definitely have some sort of percussion to chug it along. It's going to work. So I originally just kept it very open anyway, playing-wise, but as soon as Lenny jumped on the track, I mean, it was like a dream come true as a drummer to have such a legendary sort of voice, if you will, on a track like Lenny's was just unbelievable.
And I've never had percussion ever on a song before that I've done. And so, like, for Lenny to be, it's kind of fucked up because you have the top and the best of the best do the first percussion, you know, session ever. And you really can't get any better than that. And we were all, I mean, I think we filmed the whole process of it.
Yeah.
All you do is, all you're hearing is us laughing the entire time, because we're just, like, literally blown away at how cool the shit was. But it was just blowing back and just laying it down, man. And we were all just, like, total nerds. But it was so cool he did that, man. And I'm hoping that there's more percussion to be played on when we make a record.
It gave you that feeling that you wanted to bob your head. It definitely sucked you in, and also brought that different element to the music. And, you know, just seeing the video of him in the studio with no shirt on just going to town just made it even better.
I think I have GoPro footage from that as well, from, like, inside the room. I set up a little GoPro right in front of him.
Wow.
You can watch him in all his glory going through it. It's pretty insane. I'm sure we'll release that one day.
Yeah, he went to full Buddha vibes, man. He was feeling it. So when the shirt came off, we knew he meant business.
Oh, you guys, man, you guys got to show me. Come on.
Take with every instrument. It's ridiculous.
Is there a full length coming down the pipe, or what are your plans as a band going forward besides touring?
Yeah, I mean, we've got a lot of stuff recorded, but we keep writing just great stuff, in our opinion. It, you know, it just keeps getting better and better, so we definitely will have a full-length release, an EP, at some point. But as it stands right now, we're just working towards this tour, and we'll get recording some of the new stuff and see what makes the cut and what doesn't.
Any up-and-coming bands you'd like to mention that you're currently listening to?
Not really up-and-coming. I mean, I'm loving on Bring Me the Horizon's new record that they brought out at the beginning of this year. I think I can't stop listening to that. So that's for me personally, but they're hardly up and coming. They're kind of,
they're already there.
Facing there.
Yeah. I mean, we, I'm friends with the Rival Sons guys, and I know that those guys have been working their fucking asses off for, like, so many years. So when their single went number one, I was pretty pumped, because those guys really deserve it. So I was vibing on the Feral Roots record, and rock is not dead, man. I love seeing rock bands really coming out right now, and people are really into it. I mean, a lot more festivals are floating rock bands, and, you know, seeing the reaction that kids get by, like, hearing rock music. I mean, it's been kind of in the dark for a while, so to see it have kind of a revival is super cool.
Yeah, rock definitely isn't dead. That's why I went off and did my own radio show discovering undiscovered bands from around the world. And, like, you know, I really believe that the best days of rock and roll are still ahead of us. We just hit a bit of a slump. So what would you be doing right now if it wasn't for your music career?
I'd be a porn star.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I'd either be, a porn star, or I'd pretty work. I want to work in motorsport, probably. That would be the one. I'd want to work with cars.
Interesting decision.
I'd probably be a yoga instructor, man. It's so not rock and roll as it sounds. Yoga's like a second love to me, so I'd probably be the namaste guy, taking mushrooms and fucking doing yoga.
Well, that's an interesting choice. I mean, you could be the guy who sells them the pants as well. But how do you feel about the internet and the music business?
I mean, it's changed it, destroyed it, and given it a whole new way of life at the same time. It's yin and yang, man. It's good and bad. I feel like it's killed the old way completely, but it definitely created a new path and new revenue streams. But unfortunately, it's killed old revenue streams. So it's changed, but it was inevitable. It's the same as anything. Everything changes, and you've got to get with the times or get swallowed by it.
And finally, what changes would you like to see to the music industry to allow you to make a living from your music?
I feel if we got a better royalty rate for streaming, then we'd be able to really make a good living and be able to, you know, sit a little more comfortable. I mean, now we really, really have to, like, go the extra mile on every single part.
So merch, touring, all of that, you know.
So if we got a better royalty rate through all these streaming sites, I know Spotify's against it, and which is a drag, but, you know, if we can get YouTube royalty rates up, Spotify, all of those, it will definitely add up, and I feel musicians that get some success would be able to make more of a living doing it.
Yeah, I'd say also just sales in general. Like, people just don't buy music anymore because it's so easily streamable and all that. But if people would buy music instead of just streaming it to support artists, that would also be pretty sick. Let's be real.
Pretty sick.
Yeah. Maybe there'll be a few more gold and platinum records being handed out rather than like one a year.
Oh, exactly. Well, I really appreciate you guys taking the time out of your day, moving and stuff like that. Awesome you had a chance to talk with me. I was really looking forward to it. I know a lot of people were as well. And I hope we keep in touch, because this is going to be an amazing project to follow for everyone that hears this podcast and for us as well. So, take care, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much, bro.